Planning Commission meeting to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Shaw?
Here.
Commissioner Villalcana?
Here.
Commissioner Avila?
Here.
Chair Lieberman?
Here. Please join us in the Pledge to Allegiance, please.
Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Before we begin, I'd like to briefly review meeting protocols and expectations for today's hearing. Speakers are asked to address the commission as a whole, not individual commissioners. Please direct all comments to the chair. Public testimony should focus on the item before the commission and avoid repetition. Personal attacks, disruptive behavior, or comments outside the scope of the item are not permitted. For each hearing item, staff will present first, followed by the applicant or agent presentation. Public comment will then be taken. After public comment is closed, commissioners may ask questions of staff or the applicant and will deliberate before taking action. Individual speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Organized groups are limited to 5 minutes. Applicant or agent presentations are limited to 12 minutes, unless otherwise noted. We appreciate everyone's cooperation in maintaining a respectful and efficient meeting. That was exhausting. Okay. Right now, I'd like to open public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Members of the public wishing to address the commission on matters not listed on today's agenda may do so at this time. Anyone for public comment not on the agenda? Seeing none, we're going to close that and move to planning, staff, and commission updates.
Good morning, Chair Lieberman and commissioners. Eric Hughes, Division Manager, Current Planning. Here to provide the commission with an update on recent Board of Supervisor actions and a preview of your upcoming schedule. Before I get started, I did just want to again remind the public that there is an active phishing campaign impersonating county staff asking applicants to send wire money for payment for their project. And I would just note that they'll even send an invoice. It'll have county logo, and it'll have maybe the director's name, and it looks very official, but the county would never ask someone to wire money, and any official email will come from a county email address. So please look at that address, and of course, if you have any questions, you can email staff. But a county email address is @co.slo.ca.us. If you do receive one of these emails, please forward it to Eric Vitale in the district attorney's office. His email is evitale@co.slo.ca.us. That's evitale@co.slo.ca.us. You can also forward it to your planning project manager, and then we will help take it from there. But please do not wire or send any money if you get an email that looks suspicious requesting money for payment to get your project approved, because the county would not do that. So with that, moving into our last Board of Supervisors hearing was September 1st. There was one appeal item. It was a hearing to consider appeals by Linda and Richard Rydell, APPL 2026-00010 and APPL 2026-00011, and Vincent Devine, APPL 2026-00012, which was an appeal of the Planning Department Hearing Officer's approval of a request by Alex Benson for a minor use permit, coastal development permit, to allow phased construction of a new two-story mixed use project consisting of commercial retail and residential in the community of Los Osos, located at 1300 Second Street on the southeast corner of Second Street and Santa Maria Avenue. The project was within the commercial retail land use category, again within Los Osos. The appeal was denied and the Planning Department Hearing Officer's approval was upheld 5-0. That concludes the board updates. Moving into your upcoming schedule, your next scheduled Planning Commission meeting is September 24th. We've got three items currently. The first is a hearing to consider a request by Cal Portland for a reconsideration of a condition of approval. The project numbers are D990218D. You don't hear those too much. That's from 1999. And also DRC 2010-00015 to allow the continued mining of Huerjuero Creek using a paddle wheel scraper. The applicant is requesting a 20-year extension of their current mining activities. They're allowed to mine a maximum extraction of 400,000 cubic yards, where they're currently only at 140,000 cubic yards, give or take, up until this point. The proposed project is within the agricultural land use category and is located approximately 1 mile north of the community of Creston. The second item is a determination of conformity with the county general plan for the Department of Parks and Recreation's acquisition of an approximately 3.75 acre site from Chevron, the Chevron Land and Development Company, as part of the Toro Creek Park open space acquisition. This is also known as the Estero Marine Terminal. This acquisition would transfer the parcel ownership to the county. It's a beachfront property that sits between Cayucos and the city of Morro Bay, just west of Highway 1. The project is located in the recreational land use category, and again is the Estero Marine Terminal and is in the coastal zone. The third item is an amendment to Section 22.12.010 of the Regional Housing Incentive Program to make single-family residential development eligible for the Regional Housing Incentive Program. I'm just going to give you a preview. Also, October 8th is the next scheduled meeting. We have two items currently. The first is a hearing to consider a request by Nauer for a conditional use permit, NDRC 2026-00005, and a vesting parcel map, N-SUB 2025-00066, to subdivide an approximately 1.36 acre parcel into four parcels. The project is located in the residential, suburban, and open space land use categories, located at 6390 Lupine Canyon Road in San Luis Obispo, in the San Luis Obispo inland subarea. The second item is a hearing to consider a request for a conditional use permit, NDRC 2026-00011, by Dennis Maresco for the construction of an approximately 5,500 square foot construction contractor office to be used for offices, conference rooms, et cetera. The project is located within the multiple use land use category, approximately 450 feet east of Ramada Drive and Bison Court Road in the community of Templeton. That concludes staff's presentation and or updates, and I'm available for questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? Thank you very much. Brings us to the consent agenda. Just to note, the March 9th, 2023 meeting minutes were approved at the August 27th, 2026 Planning Commission hearing, so no action required there. With that, any discussion, comments before I open public comment on consent? No? Anyone wish to come forward and comment on the one consent item we have today? All right, I'm going to close public comment. Entertain a motion for approval of the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Commissioner Villalcana?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Chair Lieberman?
Yes. All right, that moves us into our hearings today. We're gonna start with hearing item number 5. Clerk, can you introduce the item, please?
Of course. Hearing to consider a request by Mike Avila for a variance to allow for grading on slopes over 30% to allow the development of a proposed four-bedroom, 4,812 square foot single family residence, which includes 1,108 square feet of garages and 1,627 square feet of decking, driveway, and site improvements. County file number N-DRC 2025-00045. Supervisorial District 1.
Thank you very much. Does anyone have ex parte discussions to disclose?
I do not, but I think Ben has a comment.
Yes, Ben Dorr with County Council. So I just want to make clear for the record that this Mike Avila is not Commissioner Mike Avila. It's important because if it was Commissioner Mike Avila, he would need to recuse himself and not participate in this vote. He is familiar with the applicant, but not friends, and doesn't have any financial interest in this project. And for that reason, he can vote on it today.
Thank you. Is the applicant Mike Avila in the house? So we can see if there's any relation. Let's see. No, I don't see it.
He has better hair.
He does. Can you introduce our team, please?
Yes, Sarah Hughes, Planning and Building. Presenting today, we have Planner Sam Kinney. And in support, we have Supervising Planner Carrie Brown, myself, Eric Hughes, and then the other county staff team members to support.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Sam Kinney. I am the project manager with the Planning and Building Department. I'll be presenting a request by Mike Avila for a variance to allow for grading on slopes over 30%. County file number N-DRC 2025-00045. The proposed project includes grading on slopes over 30% for a two-story single-family residence that is approximately 4,812 square feet. The project will result in site disturbance of approximately 6,790 square feet on a 13,800 square foot vacant parcel. The proposed project is located on Land's End Road, a private road within the community of Oak Shores. The project site is located close to Lake Nacimiento. The primary site access is through Turkey Cove Drive, which connects to Oak Shores Drive. The project site is located within the residential single-family land use category. The site is surrounded by parcels within the same land use category and one parcel within the open space land use category. This is an aerial image of the parcel. Currently, the site is vacant and located near other single-family residences. The proposed primary site is located primarily on slopes greater than 30%. The average overall slope of the parcel is 31%. The existing slopes on site are shown on the image on the right, and conditions on the surrounding parcels are shown on the left. Anything in red is a slope greater than 30%. Here are two images showing the existing on-site conditions. These pictures were taken from the top of the parcel, looking south on the left and looking north on the right. Both images also show homes built nearby with similar slope conditions. The site plan, floor plan, and building elevations are shown on the next several slides for the purpose of demonstrating existing site topography and extent of proposed grading. The scope of the variance request is limited to the grading on slopes over 30%. This site plan shows the subject property outlined in red. The future single-family residence and garage are highlighted in green. The deck is highlighted in orange, and the future driveway is highlighted in yellow. This is an image of the first floor plans. This is an image of the lower floor plans. This is an image of the west-facing elevation showing the proposed residence. This is an image of the north, east, and south elevations. The extent of the grading is most clearly seen in the south elevation. Referral responses were received from the agencies currently shown on screen. The project is located within the Geologic Study Combining Designation. The applicant provided a geologic investigation, which was peer-reviewed by the county geologist, and their recommendations were included as conditions of approval in Exhibit B. Based on staff analysis, along with the project's findings and conditions of approval, staff recommends that the commission determine that this project is exempt from environmental review under CEQA based on the general rule or common sense exemption, and approve variance N-DRC 2025 18-00045 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B. This concludes staff's presentation. Staff is available to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you for that staff report. Any initial questions of staff? No. Would the other Mike Avila like to come forward and address the commission?
Nice to meet you. Nice to meet all of you, but nice to meet. I think he's the sixth Mike Avila that I know, so there's a lot of confusion in the state of California. One of them's a criminal, so that that's interesting. That's not him. But my credit report gets run and I have to do a lot of explaining. So thank you for hearing this. I did my best, but just to give you guys a little information, I am a contractor by trade. I own a contracting company up in the Monterey County area, mainly commercial work. And so I'm familiar with the process. And when I bought this lot, I don't have a lot of comments about the project. I did everything I could to design it within the constraints of the county, so there were no variances. It was a bit of a surprise to me when I came to the counter that this hearing was necessary based on the slopes, being that there's the surrounding homes are all on similar slopes, and virtually every lot, not everyone, but nearly everyone that's left is on a 30% slope. So I wanted to, really what I wanted to do is give you guys awareness of the situation. If there was, and I don't know the planning term, I should have done some research, but I thought about this on the way down, and I thought the Planning Commission should know this. The value of the lots in that subdivision, I sold one recently for $10,000. I bought two lots from a gentleman. He wanted to get rid of both of them. And the lots on a heavy slope have very little value. The one I happen to be building on is a very nice lot. It has a view and those kinds of things. So there's value in me building this building here. If there was some sort of blanket that you could put over this subdivision, I don't know what the term is, that you could review one time the slope discussion and maybe just attach a geological report to this subdivision that's required, it would save about 5 months in the process and about $40,000 in studies. So that, to check this box, it's a $40,000 box. On the lots that are remaining that are worth $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. Those are the heavily sloped lots. That's what's left out there. I just thought I would let you guys know that. Doesn't affect my project in any way at this point. Samantha did a great job of navigating for me to get through what I needed to do, but there's, by ending up with that CEQA box checked, it's CEQA exempt. However, bird study, bat study, flowers, I mean, just one after another, study, none of which a flat lot would need. Not related to the slope, not related to the geology. So it seems to me it's just, there's a better way. So I just want to let you guys know that. But otherwise, I appreciate the planning department's work. It's great. And hopefully we'll get into building in the next 2 weeks. And I would have liked to have done this parallel. I probably would have a building permit by now, had this box not been checked. So thank you.
Thank you. I'm going to open this to public comment, this agenda item, this public hearing. If you'd like to come forward, please do so at this time. Seeing none, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. And I'd like to make a comment, actually, if I could. Mr. Avila, we heard you loud and clear, and actually one of our punch item lists has to do with 30% grade requests coming to this body. So staff's well aware of our interest in streamlining that as well. Any other questions, comments prior to consideration of a motion?
If I could have you put the recommendation up, please. I would like to make a motion to the project is exempt under CEQA general rule exemption and notice of exemption has been prepared, and to approve the variance NDRC 2025-00045 based on the findings listed in Exhibit A and the conditions listed in Exhibit B.
I'll second the motion, but I got one quick. Mr. Ava, could you email us that information? Just told us about how long it takes you, the costs. That'd be good for the discussion we're having, because everybody talks about it, but it sounds like you actually have some data there that we could use, some good metrics. Anyway, and I'll second.
Okay. Okay, we have a motion.
Commissioner Villicana?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Lieberman?
Yes. Thank you. That concludes this hearing item.
Thank you, everybody. I hope I see you for other reasons.
All right, we're going to give staff a moment to set up for the next hearing item.
Well, there's the reason they come to us for the 30% is that's actual currently state law, correct? That's why we're following the state law.
Eric Hughes, Planning and Building. Good question. It's actually in our Title 22 of our county code. You're not allowed to grade on slopes over 30%. But if you were to, it requires a variance, and a variance is a discretionary action in our code, which then triggers the California Environmental Quality Act. And so we have to bring it before the Planning Commission for an approval. A lot of it is really just safety, because when you're grading on steeper slopes, right, there's a ability for slides, things like that, which is where the geologic comes in, and we require geologic analysis. I would just note that, let's just say the variance process was to be removed, they would still be subject to CEQA as part of major grading, because that is state law under the California Environmental Quality Act. So the studies that he's referring to would more than likely have been required. However, he would not have had to go through this process, right, and that time delay, and then the costs associated with the variance process. So,
right, which is what we're trying to slim down.
That's correct.
We've closed the hearing item, but I think we heard you. Please send that email.
I'll explain what my architect
did. Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Staff ready? Okay. Can you introduce the item, please?
Hearing to consider amendments to the County Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance, Local Coastal Program and Real Property Division Ordinance to update regulations relating to urban dwellings and urban lot splits for consistency with state law, coastal zone. County file number LRP 2026-00001, Supervisorial District 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you. Any ex parte communications on this one? All right. Can you introduce our project team, please?
Yes, Eric Hughes, Planning and Building. Presenting this item today, we have Planner Dominic Del Porto, and in support, Supervising Planner Shawnee Seong. Again, myself, Eric Hughes, and the rest of county staff, including Council and Public Works. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Dominic Del Porto, Long Range Planner with Planning and Building, and today I'll be presenting an amendment to the Real Property Division Ordinance, Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance, to allow for urban dwellings and urban lot splits within the coastal zone under the provisions of State Senate Bill 9, which is referenced as SB 9 throughout this presentation. County file number LRP 2026-00001. Generally, the state passes a series of laws related to housing each year. Then, affected jurisdictions have to update their ordinance to accommodate these laws to remain compliant with state law. These laws also typically limit the scope of review for projects, utilizing these specific provisions with the goal of streamlining housing production needed in our state. SB 9 was signed into effect in 2021. Then, in 2024, the Board of Supervisors adopted the Housing Element Implementation Framework. One of the actions within this framework was to adopt SB 9 provisions. Then, in 2025, the board voted to adopt these provisions within the inland portion of the county. Shortly after its adoption, the California Department of Housing and Community Development conducted a compliance review of our county's housing element, which required the county to extend SB 9 provisions to the coastal zone in order to remain consistent with state law. Taking a look into what an urban lot split and urban dwelling actually are, SB 9 allows for two types of development: Component 1 of SB 9 allows for one lot to be split into two lots. Component 2 allows for a second primary dwelling to be ministerially permitted on the parcel. The eligibility remains the same as inland, except for a few items to ensure consistency with the county's local coastal program. In addition to these existing eligibility requirements, a lot must also be outside of environmentally sensitive habitat area or geologic study area, unless the required buffer and engineering requirements are met, outside of the Cambria CSD boundary until a sustainable water supply for the community is located, as there does not appear to be capacity to support additional development at this time, and a property which is not a shoreline or blufftop property that cannot meet the required erosion stability setbacks. In addition to the eligibility criteria, all development under SB 9 must also abide by health and safety regulations. These include regulations related to fire safety, drainage, flood control, and water and sewer availability. During the application submittal process, all applicants must submit a self-certification checklist to ensure that applicants are aware of these regulations and that their project meets them. SB 9 state law provides a CEQA statutory exemption for ordinance amendments related to urban lot splits and urban dwellings. A notice of this exemption has been prepared. And as part of our outreach, planning staff also notified the Coastal Community Advisory Councils and California Coastal Commission of these amendments. Additionally, County Council have also reviewed these amendments. And with that, it is recommended that your commission recommend that the Board of Supervisors amend the Real Property Division Ordinance, Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance, and Framework for Coastal Planning to update regulations relating to urban dwellings and urban lot splits for consistency with state law. Thank you.
Thank you for the staff report. Any questions of staff? Okay. Is there any public comment on this item? If so, please come forward and complete a speaker slip. Seeing none, we're going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission. Deliberation, motion.
My deliberation is just want to make sure I understand that this is already happening inland. It's just shoring it up to be coastal.
Dr. Porto, planning and building. Yes, that is correct, Commissioner Shaw.
Okay. And have a lot of people taken advantage of this? Just estimate.
I believe there are, so far in the inland portion, there have been a couple of applications come through. Yes.
Okay, sure. Cool. I'm ready for a motion. Do you want me to make, are you ready? Okay, yeah. Can we have the motion up there? Let's read it. Okay. I'll move that the Planning Commission recommend that the Board of Supervisors amend the Real Property Division Ordinance, Coastal Zone Land Use Ordinance, and Framework for Coastal Planning to update regulations related to urban dwellings and urban lot splits for consistency with state law.
I'll second.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Commissioner Avila?
Yes.
Commissioner Villacana?
Yes.
Chair Lieberman.
Yes. Thank you, staff. That concludes this hearing item. Give you some time to rotate and set up for number 7. All right, excellent.
This is.
Introduce, I'm sorry? Oh, that's right. Cycling. 29. Okay.
This is a hearing to consider amendments to the County Title 22 Land Use Code for minor technical cleanup and the implementation of a 1 mile commercial cannabis prohibition buffer around the village reserve line of the community of Creston, including those areas contained within. County file number LRP 2026-00008, Supervisorial District 5.
Very good, thank you. Commission, any ex parte communications? Okay, will you introduce the project team, please?
Yes, Eric Hughes, Planning and Building, presenting the item. We have planner Nicholas Bernion with the Cannabis Code Enforcement team, and then his administrative manager, Eric Rainey. And then, of course, myself, Eric Hughes, and Council and Public Works. So take it away, Nicholas.
Thank you. Good morning, Commissioners. Nicholas Bergnon, planner with the Sheriff's Office Compliance Division, joined today by Eric Rainey, administrative manager of the Sheriff's Compliance Division. First, I'd be remiss to not mention the assistance we had from the Department of Planning and Building in bringing this item to you today, to which we appreciate them for their technical assistance. The item in front of you today is a hearing to consider amendments to the Land Use Ordinance of the County of San Luis Obispo, Title 22 of County Code, to implement minor cleanup items, as well as a restriction on commercial cannabis uses within the vicinity of the community of Creston. The county file number today is LRP 2026-00008. To provide some background on this item, there has been longstanding and vocal opposition to the establishment of commercial cannabis uses within and surrounding the community of Creston. This item comes to you after a board motion directing staff to develop a buffer in which a 1 mile buffer around the village reserve line of the community of Creston, in which no commercial cannabis uses would be allowed to be established. Reasoning behind this is to provide a bit of a transition zone between the larger agricultural parcels in the rural Creston area, extending out, of course, to the rural Paso Robles, Chandon, Santa Margarita, and Templeton area, and the smaller parcels of the core of Creston, within the Creston Village Reserve line. So at board direction, we have prepared the language to establish the 1 mile buffer, and we have also included minor technical cleanup items, largely non-substantive changes that will help in applicability and administrability of our ordinance. So the key item today is, of course, the language establishing the exclusion area. This language would disallow all commercial cannabis activities in this area. The only activities that we would still allow are those activities which we consider exempt. Exempt activities would be personal plants or caretaker-managed plants. And just for context, our county requirements on those are that an individual or one property may have no more than 6 plants under those exempt requirements, and they must be located indoors. We are also including provisions to ensure that our buffer does not restrict the legal transport of product through the buffer zone or the delivery of retail cannabis products to patients or customers within the zone. There are other minor technical cleanup items that, in collaboration with Sheriff's Office compliance staff, those staff being our resource protection specialists who administer our monitoring program. Those are our quarterly monitoring inspections on all licensed sites. We sat down, we roundtabled to understand areas within our ordinance where we could make small language changes, either where there were errors in the existing ordinance or ways that we could just make it a little bit cleaner to read, easier for applicants, understanding a few years into this program that there are areas that applicants have difficulty with. There are areas that we have had difficulty in interpretation of, and so those are minor cleanups. I would like to briefly go through those cleanup items. One of them is adjusting setback language, which is setback language for cultivation uses, which had previously been applied to all of our commercial cannabis uses, those uses being manufacturing, processing, distribution, transport, retail. So we paired those back to make sure that they're just within the cultivation and nursery uses where they are applicable. The other change that we made is a minor change to our security requirements, to where previously we required that all businesses have maintained 90 business days of video recording. We just changed that to 90 calendar days for easier to follow that kind of difficult to administer a business day requirement. We also removed a section that referenced an applicant needing to have a business license and a background application ready at the time of their land use permit application. This is not the practice. Practice is that business license comes at the very end, and in between the process after approval, there will be final approval of a background check for the individuals. We also restructured slightly allowable land use categories for cultivation. There's no actual change in the allowable land use categories. We just moved some items to have it read. The very first item, our limit on the number of allowable licenses for cultivation uses, which is 141, and then we go into the land use categories, which are allowable. We additionally, there are manufacturing requirements for manufacturing of edible products. These requirements essentially restrict, for example, manufacturing of edible products in the shapes of animals, insects, things that are appealing to children. Our ordinance had initially written this out, but it was duplicative of state requirements, so we have modified this to just refer to the state requirements. Finally, we have made two changes to our retail component. We allow retail delivery of cannabis products. We do not allow retail storefronts, but we modified some language to remove an undefined term, which has caused us issues in the past, and we also updated the language relating to hours of operation. We had come before the Planning Commission previously to update hours of operation to fall back to state requirements. We're just updating this language again to make it clearer how to navigate to those state requirements. And that concludes the exclusion area and the minor cleanup items. We have also prepared vicinity maps just to have a better understanding of, one, what is the Creston Village Reserve line? So this is the Creston Village Reserve line. You can see it primarily encompasses the developed core of the community of Creston and those smaller parcels contained within. Within this area, there's a school, a small community library, community center, restaurants, and residential uses. And this is what the buffer zone would look like overlaid from it. So it is a 1 mile line drawn from the edges of the Village Reserve line, also including those areas located within. So any parcel which is contained or partially contained within this buffer zone would not be allowed to support a commercial cannabis use. And with that, I believe that concludes the bulk of our changes, and I would like to open to any questions if there's anything we may answer.
Thank you for the staff report. Any questions?
I had one. I was reading this part this morning, and so I was a little fuzzy on the details, but so this went to the Creston advisory body to be discussed, and then did it go already to the Board of Supervisors to be discussed? Or because I just saw, I know Supervisor Moreno weighed in, so I wasn't sure, was this already discussed at the Board of Supervisors or no?
Thank you, Commissioner Shaw. Nicholas Bergnon, planner. This item has been discussed informally between with the Creston Advisory Board over the past few years, and they've been working with the 5th District Supervisor to advance this item. What most recently happened at a board meeting, I don't know if I have the exact date of the board meeting in front of me, but during board member updates or comments, there was a motion made to direct staff to bring back to the board for their ultimate consideration this ordinance amendment. And so we are here asking today that this item be recommended by the Planning Commission to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay. And so they want to hear this and talk about that. Okay, I just wanted to make sure you weren't leaving out any opposition. All right, thank you.
Just for clarification, this is all processing, growing, and manufacturing indoor or outdoor, correct? This will be complete envelope of that 1 mile buffer.
Commissioner Avila, yes, that is correct. This item will restrict all of our allowable commercial cannabis uses. So that would be cultivation and nursery, whether those be indoor or outdoor, processing, manufacturing, retail, and transport and distribution. So just any, and in the future, if we were to ever allow storefront retail, that would also fall into this. This item is living within the ordinance just for context. location standards for all commercial cannabis uses within the inland area.
Okay, and then one other quick question. I've seen some letters come in, and they all were in for this project. Did we get anything in opposition of it that you know of that I might not have seen?
Eric Hughes, Planning and Building. I have not, to my knowledge, we have not received any letters in opposition of this ordinance cleanup item.
I guess my question is, in the 6 years I've been here, I can't recall one outdoor grow that hasn't been contentious. Is this being talked about in other areas? I know we've had issues in Oak Shores, and I know Templeton's, you know, been talking about it. Is there a discussion of expanding this kind of exemption zone in any other areas?
Commissioner Villicana, thank you. We have not heard from any other of the community advisory councils or other community groups within the unincorporated county expressing interest in such an ordinance, although we would expect that in the future it is possible.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks for stealing my question. I just wanted to make sure and determine whether, you know, consistent application is something that you'll be looking at in the future. But thank you for asking that. All right. Anyone from the public wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, I'm going to close public comment and bring it back to the commission.
I had a discussion point. I was sitting on the Grover Beach City Council when we went through the long process of setting up an entire way to regulate cannabis. So I toured many facilities. I was not familiar with anything, not really drug user or anything. I had to really learn a lot. And I just want to say these things can be done well if regulated appropriately. I think anybody who could go and not anybody, but if some of the people like the supervisors or people on the advisory board wanted to take a tour of the facilities in Grover Beach, I'm sure our police chief would take people or the city manager. And we really worried, but we've had zero complaints that I've heard about and really zero calls for service to the police. So when it's done well, it can really work. And one of the dispensaries is literally one block from the most popular coffee shop in town. And it's done nothing but kind of bring more people to the city. And they actually have a promotional thing on Visit Grover. And it's actually been great. And we even had some businesses that preemptively closed that were near. And it was a mistake because it hasn't had that negative impact. So I just want that out there to, before you kind of condemn this, to maybe go tour a facility. And I agree that I think there's been a lot of bad actors that went and especially did the outdoor grows, and that's terrible. And I feel for people when they come here and they say they smell that night and day. I've actually been to some indoor grows that are done properly near like $2 million homes in our county that nobody knows about. So it can be done properly. But that being said, and I do worry about this creating a slippery slope and us suddenly getting like a bunch of these applications. But I did see that 8 projects have come to the Crescent Advisory Body, and they've had to like get rid of 8 projects and get 8 projects. And at that point, that is wasting money for the county. It's wasting money. Like, they're not going to let this happen up there. They don't want it. They've made it clear that. So, but I do just want to emphasize the fact that the county makes a lot of fees and taxes on these projects. So it is leaving money on the table. But I think in this case, it's a savings because you won't be dealing with all these hearings anymore. So I'm not opposed to it, but I would encourage people to maybe, you know, as the board, if they do get a bunch of these applications, really go take a look in Grover Beach, because when it's done properly, it really can be okay. So, but I'm not against this.
That was part of the anxiety-driven steep learning curve when council made a policy decision in Grover Beach in my former role as the fire chief, and had to learn a lot and deal with issues specifically dealing with manufacturing. I think the big difference here would be outdoor grows and the odor. That would be the delta from Grover. But no, I think knocking on wood, so far so good in Grover Beach. Thank you. Anything?
I just, like I said, I went to one of the meetings out there on this, and the community definitely does not want these growths. So this is really beneficial to them, and I would suspect we may see them in other communities as well, the buffers. But with that said, also, I don't know if the county actually makes a whole lot of money off, because it's really kind of, it came in like gangbusters. You know, we thought the whole town's going to become, you know, Mendocino County or the whole area, and then all of a sudden there's hardly any. We're not seeing a whole lot. In fact, this one applicant that was the biggest pot stirrer there, or actually pot grower, they pulled out the application. So I don't know the actual metrics on, but we might be spending more money than we're actually receiving back. Mm. But with that said, I'm ready to make a motion. Unless you didn't.
No, I mean, if I was going to say anything, I totally agree. I have really no problem with like an indoor grow, because you can control the aroma. It's the outdoor grows that I have the big problem with. And so anyway, it's horrible to have a neighbor be forced to come here and fight to basically protect their land from, you know, odor that could go across and disturb their homes. Mm-hmm. So.
Go ahead. Put the recommendation back up, please.
I apologize. I did neglect to put the full recommendation text on the presentation. I apologize for that.
I'm going to make me.
And Dorothy County Council, you can just move staff's recommendation.
All right, I'll move that we accept staff's recommendation.
I'll second.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Aula?
Yes.
Commissioner Villalcana?
Yes.
Commissioner Shaw?
Yes.
Chair Lieberman?
Yes. That completes this hearing item. I will entertain a motion to take all testimony and correspondence into the record.
So moved.
Favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Second. Aye. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to the next regularly scheduled meeting of September 24th.
So moved.
Second.
All in
aye.
Favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned at 9:47:26.
You really want me to get to my 10 a.m. meeting? I already told him I wouldn't be there.
I know. Noon.